You're at 95%, Mike.
That's a terrible lead. Man, God, you're so bad.
Better than the nothing.
Sometimes I just like to sit here and be silent and see, like, what is AJ going to offer me? What is he going to come up with? First, he looks around the room, sees anything, and like says, look at this, Mike. Your computer installation is at 95%. And he like expects me to turn that into gold somehow. Like, what do you want me to do with that? I am but a man. All right.
It worked.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 9th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Adge Guy.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. So what's up?
You know, video games.
Okay. That should be the shirt there. Video games. Play the music. Play the outro now. So we got news. Then we're going to do the Retro Console Wars, talking about, what is that called? Generation 4?
Previous gen, I don't know.
Is it really? That was just one gen ago now, huh? Yeah, but PlayStation 2, Xbox, and GameCube will pick a winner. Well, people like say Atari was kind of first gen, right? So NES second gen, Super Nintendo third gen. I'm just going Nintendo because they always had one. So yeah. 64 fourth gen. I guess fifth gen.
Okay.
Fifth gen, I'm going to say. All right. So yeah, we'll do that. Then we'll talk about our week in gaming and hit up the new releases, and that'll be the show. So let's get rolling.
Okay. So the BioWare... show of happiness continues. They've announced that they are in fact releasing extended DLC for free this summer to better explain the ending. They made it very clear it will not be a new ending. They are sticking to their artistic vision.
It's technically a new ending since it'll be different and there'll be more content.
But it's not like...
They're saying they're not like changing it.
There won't be a new... option or something like that. I'm trying to be vague still.
I'm slightly worried that this means we're just going to get a longer bad ending, but...
Like I said, this is what I wanted. If they think this ending's so great, sweet, but explain it to me, because you didn't do that.
I mean, it's already a failure in a way. I mean, you know what? Look, we'll see. I don't want to be a jerk about it immediately, but...
Yeah.
Maybe it'll work out. I don't know. Like, I want to give it a chance. Their wordage in, like, the press... Not the press release, but I think Casey Hudson, like... was, like, talking about, he's going on about, like, you know, we were so proud of our artistic vision, and we understand that some fans wanted more closure. If it was some fans, you wouldn't be taking a million or however million-dollar bath this is going to cost you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, they're on pure damage control right now.
Yeah.
Deservingly so. I know a lot of people are mad that, you know, if the fans have whined, okay, God, shut up. There's even an article on Engadget, I think it was Engadget, and it was, like, another one, like, oh, the headline was Mass Effect fan, the moaners get their way. Like, people just don't...
I've yet to speak to a single person, not press, but person like I know, who's played that game and likes the ending.
Yeah.
I really have.
Which is, it's like, not only not, like, not liked it, but, like, had an angry reaction to it.
Yeah.
To the point where it's become a thing that they have to talk about. I mean, look, it's not the fans' fault that they're complaining about the ending and made up petitions and stuff. It's just a result of what they got wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is with a lot of these journalism people. I don't know if it's because they're writers, so they like feel like they have to protect quote unquote writing. I don't get it. Your artistic vision is bad, and you should feel bad. That's how I feel. But this will be free, so it's interesting though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious. I guess we're going to have to play the ending again, which was kind of hard.
Yeah, that final battle that I didn't really care for that much.
It was okay. But yeah, so, yeah, interesting. So, what else?
Well, they're releasing free multiplayer DLC as well pretty soon here.
Do you think that was always going to be free multiplayer?
I don't know.
From the people who brought us the Prothean pack
for $10,
do you think this was going to be free?
No. Well, it's pretty substantial, actually.
Yeah, it's now.
Lots of new classes and races, including an Asari, what are they called? The thing that...
The Justicars?
Yes, that's a Justicar.
Samara, by the way, lamest character, right? Come on.
Yeah, she's just stoic. I mean, she's kind of the Qui-Gon Jinn of Mass Effect.
She's lame.
But you also get playable Batarians and Geth in the multiplayer now, which I think is cool.
Geth are cool.
Yeah.
Isn't there a...
New maps?
Isn't there a Drell also? Or is that a different one?
Maybe. I mean, there already was a Drell.
Was there?
Okay. But yeah, like, new maps, I mean, it's pretty substantial, especially if you're really into the multiplayer. But yeah. Also, the next couple days here, the patch to fix the face import bug comes out.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, now that I've finished the game. Thanks, assholes.
Now you can re-import your face finally, play through it again, and get a decent ending. Maybe it'll just be bad again. Here's my problem, again, like, just to go back to that. What they're saying they're going to explain the ending, or just, like, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not, like, there's so many problems with it. I don't know if you can just explain it. So many of the plot holes and stuff. Like, did they just explain it, like, oh, we know that it looks like this happened, but it actually was this. Even though everything we have ever created about our universe would tell you it should be this way.
Yeah.
There's just so many things. It'll be interesting, I guess. I still feel like they can never really fix it. Like, once the die has been cast, it's been cast.
Yeah.
It cannot be unseen.
Frankly, if this doesn't satisfactorily finish up everything, at that point, I just for my own curiosity, I want just a very blunt, honest Q&A with Casey Hudson where all of the, like, major complaints are said, like, how do you explain this? And just hear what he has to say.
There was a BioWare panel at PAX.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was hoping they'd get hit kind of hard by it. Although, like, you know, I think this is where they announced a lot of this free stuff.
Uh-huh.
Kind of stopped in the blow. And I don't think Casey Hudson himself was there. And, you know, they just said, I was just trying to read the synopsis of it. It didn't sound like they got into... I kind of thought, like, it might be ugly, like, every mod, but, like, some people are like, oh, what'd you think of the indoctrination theory? They're like, oh, yeah, it's kind of neat, and, you know, every time someone... I don't think anyone went up there and said, explain this plot hole.
Right.
Maybe they should have. And I think there's a lot of people just went up there and gushed about how cool they were. You know how... I hate those Q&As where people just go to the microphone and talk about how, like, oh, I love you.
Well, apparently they did a little infrequent, informal poll where they had people, like, show of hands, which one was their favorite. Mass Effect 2 was overwhelmingly...
There's no reason why 3 shouldn't have been. There's one good reason why.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure people are probably sick of hearing me talk about Mass Effect now. I did like the ending.
It's a big topic.
All right. What's next? So, yes, that is true, though. A lot of people complain, like, oh, I'm sick of hearing about it. Well, it's a big topic. What do you want?
It's the biggest thing going on right now, except for maybe this. Epic Mickey, The Power of Illusion for 3DS.
Oh, yeah, I'm more excited about this than the real game.
A.K.A. Kingdom Hearts without the bullshit, in my mind.
Oh, shut up, you. I like Kingdom Hearts. I like the bullshit.
Mike, Scrooge McDuck is in this game.
Yeah, that's cool. He was in Kingdom Hearts 2, you know.
Scrooge McDuck is in this game. Okay. And I'll have to listen to Organization 13 talk about sea salt ice cream.
I like sea salt ice cream. Anyways, yeah. Why are you trying to bring Kingdom Hearts down? Why can't you just be happy about this?
Oh, Kingdom Hearts is right where it's always been. This is just that much better.
Oh yeah, sure.
But no, I mean, look at, like, the screenshots. It's like a classic looking 2D.
It's going to be the greatest game of all time.
Yeah. But, like, it's going to be in 3D, but it's, like, 2D sprites and everything. I don't understand it because I haven't seen a video to demo it, but there's, like, you draw stuff on the bottom screen.
Yeah, and, like...
I didn't quite understand that.
It's some sort of, like, almost... What's that one game called? Where you draw things?
Oh,
Draw a Hero or something.
Something like that. I know what you're talking about. Shoot.
It's kind of like that. From the people who made Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
Their first thing. But, I'm excited. 2D Mickey game. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Castle of Illusion. I liked World of Illusion better. Even.
I know. I want those games to come out of Virtual Console now.
That and freaking Quackshot.
Awesome. Yeah.
The epic. The let's get the Duck sequel to that. Indiana Jones game. All right.
Next. All right. Well, since we apparently are still a year away from these being announced, there's a lot of rumors about all these next-gen consoles and everything. So first... And you had a story about this on GamesBeat that mentioned it, but now there's some developers saying that the Wii U is actually less powerful than an Xbox 360 and a PS3.
Well, this kind of stuff is interesting. I mean, maybe it is. At least one developer kind of came out and supported the Wii U in this case.
Gearbox, Borderlands,
Gearbox
did,
because they have that Aliens game coming out in it. I saw it. At least, and the most graphically taxing thing they had was the Zelda tech demo.
Yeah, but see, tech demos always...
Well, I'm just saying, if the Zelda game that came out in that thing looked like that tech demo, I wouldn't complain about what the graphics
were. Yeah, I know, but you can't tech... Because you have to remember, there's a tech demo, there's no sound processing, there's no AI processing.
I'm just saying, it's obviously going to be... If you look at a Wii U game and you can actually tell a difference, it's going to be a bad problem. But don't forget, the PS3 is technically more powerful than the 360, and oftentimes you can't tell.
Right.
So, maybe it'll be a big deal. Maybe not. Nintendo's kind of wordage when they're defending themselves kind of worries me because they just go on about how it doesn't matter, which is like, It's basically saying, like, yeah, it's true, but, you know, who cares? We have to defend ourselves because we have this control. I mean, sometimes I wonder, like, man, I wish that it just didn't have that type of control and it was just a really powerful system instead. Because that's what they're saying, is that it has to kind of take a hit on the hardware because that peripheral, not peripheral, but, you know, that component, that touchscreen controller is so expensive that if you have a really powerful system with that, you're going to be releasing a $400, $500 system, well, which they don't want to do. And the rumor is that they're targeting $300.
Yeah, which I still think is... If there isn't going to be a PS4 or an Xbox 720, $300 for a new system from Nintendo with no hard drive, just that tablet controller.
Oh, come on. $300 is reasonable. When have you ever... Come on.
I would have said at least launch with the Wii launch at $249, but...
$300's okay. We can all afford $300. I still can't believe that it won't have a hard drive. They have to change that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Digital distribution is no longer like a pie in the sky thing. Like, let me ask you this question, Mike. When's the last time you bought a boxed PC game?
Mass Effect 2.
And you didn't even have to.
Yeah.
I think you just did it because you had some gift certificates.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah. No, I didn't buy the boxed version of Star Wars, though. All right.
Now, what about you saw the PS4 rumors?
It's called Orbis or something.
The interesting thing is how they're supposedly getting rid of used game sales by essentially what's a CD key, I guess.
Well, the same kind of thing had been said about the next Xbox.
Yeah.
Where basically they're going to combat games by tying a game to a system. Kind of like what PC games have done for a while.
What PC games did in the 90s.
Yeah, I know, and it sucked, and it might suck again.
Well,
I'm
glad we did like our childhood of having like one console, like, you know, back then before this happened.
It's interesting though, Cal. People seem to. Everyone hates GameStop, right? Pretty much. So this would kill GameStop, basically.
Right.
But we still don't like it. It's like, which one? What do you want more? Do you want to be able to share games or do you want to kill GameStop?
I'd rather be able to share games.
Yeah, me too. Especially when you're young and you have brothers and
stuff. The thought that, like, you know, if we're still living together and I buy a game. Let's just say the new Uncharted. If you try to play it with your account, you'll get to play like the first level or something, and it's going to ask you to buy it.
I mean, that's why a lot of people do that, where they'll, you know, I have a friend, and I'll be like, hey, play this game, I'm done with it. I mean, it doesn't seem unfair to me. It's my game, I bought it, I can lend it to somebody if I want to.
Right.
But
not anymore. Not anymore.
We'll see. I mean, it's weird, though, because it seems like, I don't know how risky they want to get with stuff like that.
No, it's...
Because you can potentially piss off your consumers, and they'll be like, I don't want to play video games anymore. I don't know. What's next?
God forbid they start playing PC games. So Capcom, in a great display of showing that they still don't get it, they're in trouble now for the fact that every DLC character for Capcom versus Tekken or Cross Tekken, or Street Fighter Cross Tekken, excuse me, is on the disc. Every one of them.
Yeah.
And some people are even reporting this to the Better Business Bureau.
Are they getting destroyed for it, like the person who did it for Mass Effect?
No, that was the FTC.
Was that different? Oh.
But so first you have on the Capcom Unity blog their positive spin on it. By including these 12 characters on the disc, the idea was to ensure easy compatibility between players who do and do not choose to download the characters when they arrive as DLC. The update also saves on file size. Instead of a massive download, there will be a much smaller unlock that brings the new content to the surface.
How massive would it be for
this move also
characters?
Furthers our desire to avoid a super version of the game down the road.
They're the ones who do that.
Everything you need.
They're the only ones who do that. What do you mean avoid that?
Everything you need to enjoy this game for months and years to come will be assessed by the retail disc available this week. Well, it doesn't matter if you still have to download something anyway. I don't understand that point. Like, how does this avoid a super version?
That just annoys me because they're the only people who do that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to do a super version. Like, well, then don't do one. You're the only ones. There's going to be the Game of the Year version of Mortal Kombat, for instance, but all the characters on that were DLC you could buy.
Right. Like,
and they weren't on the disc.
If there's, like, actual post-development and then you wrap it together in a Game of the Year package or something, that's fine. That's also still compatible with the previous version. But that's the thing.
See,
when they do a super or whatever, it's not compatible with the last one.
Right.
Like, you know when I decided I was done with Capcom? I honestly think I am right now.
Just done with that.
I'm done with their fighting games, because they finally pissed me off. You know why?
Why?
I went to go, I was selling some games. I had Super Street Fighter 4. And I was like, I'm going to see what this is worth. Like, Best Buy's iPhone app lets you search for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to scan the barcode. It didn't scan, so I tried to manually search it. You know what? Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition came up. I didn't even know that came out. And it, I researched it. It's incompatible with the other two. It's like, oh, the
that was
fuck
a bit
this.
Much.
You know?
I think there's just two extra characters on that one.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then here's the best part. People have cracked the game, unlocked these characters themselves for free because they're on the disc, and are playing online in ranked matches with them.
That's interesting.
So you'd think, oh, that's like, if we don't put them on the disc, there's no way for people to pirate it. And yeah, like you said, how big could this download be? A few megabytes?
Yeah, I don't get it.
How big is a Street Fighter
character? I just
can't
believe that from that. Like, when they launched the game, they said, we're going to have 12 characters be downloadable.
And they're already done.
12.
That's the thing.
That is so many.
Like, I know there was, like, the whole thing about, like, the Mass Effect DLC being on the disc, but it wasn't done. Like, what was done at that point was put on the disc, but, like, the rest of it was finished after the game was finished.
Right. I mean, that's one thing, but, yeah, that's a lot of characters.
And then this cracks me, too, the whole excuse of, well, to make the multiplayer compatible. Plenty of games have done this, where you make, like, a free downloadable, like, patch version, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if
like,
they're already playing online, and they can download a patch, right?
Yeah, like, you basically download, like, a free DLC.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That has those files, you just don't have access to the character. But you have the file for it, so if you play someone with it, you have it. Again, if you're playing online, then you have access to get this file.
Yeah.
It,
who knows, Edgeguy? Who knows? They're Capcom. They've been a mess, as it were.
Yeah.
I will tell you what, though. They don't really have anything to do with it, but I love the Mega Man comics, the new ones by Archie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
those.
Are they awesome. I got, like, the first two collections, which is Mega Man. It's, like, the story of Mega Man 1, and then it's like kind of between 1 and 2 right now, where it was like, it involved Time Man and Oil Man from Mega Man Powered Up. It was cool. And then, like, I saw, like, just like a picture, of, like a teaser of like an issue that's kind of newer now, that's like further than where I'm at, where it's just like all the Mega Man 1 Robot Masters fighting all the Mega Man 2 Robot Masters, which sounds like the coolest thing ever. All right, next.
Final story. According to a poll at The Consumerist, EA is the worst company in America, beating out Bank of America in the final round.
Man, people really got their panties in a twist over this. People were so mad.
Yeah.
Like, every single news story I saw was like, how could gamers do this? Look, it's not like the company that lost is going to be shut down or something. It's not like we picked Barabbas over Jesus here. This is what it is. It's, look, gamers are much better organized as an online community,
well,
so they're going to make a point. They're all going to vote. It's just like when they go on Amazon and they give somebody's book a one-star review because they said violent games make, you know, cause school shootings or whatever.
Who do you think
is
going to participate in the freaking Consumerist March Madness poll? A bunch of 12-year-olds who didn't like this year's Madden or are upset with the Mass Effect 3 ending? Or like some 45 investor who's like, yeah, Bank of America screwed up my pension or something, when, like, they're going to go to this and vote and be like, yeah, that'll show them.
Yeah.
Like, know the audience. Come on.
Yeah,
like, seriously, like, so many people were pissed off about this.
I know. Some people are so indignant about it. Like, who cares? Yeah, no one likes. Also, a lot of game journalists, they kind of started the whole EA is the devil thing anyways.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So, yeah.
You know,
whatever.
It's funny. Wasn't it like 2-3 years ago, like, EA was acknowledged to be on an upswing?
It was right when EA had that year where they released Dead Space and Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
And everyone's like,
oh my
look,
God, new IP. They're like, they're actually EA trying. And
then they kind of turned evil again. They started buying a lot of companies and ruining them.
Yeah, that's true.
Like BioWare.
Whoops.
And I saw like this funny JPEG of just like all the companies they bought, and they kind of milk what they can out of them and then destroy them. I almost says if that is their policy.
It's like the Reapers.
Like, don't be too shocked that BioWare is not a thing in 5 years.
Oh, that'd be
in all
sad.
In all seriousness.
That'd be weird.
I would not be surprised.
If that happens, I think that's when people do finally like revolt for
I
real.
Mean, I talked to somebody who told me that. And this is somebody I just talked to when I was at an event, and I won't say who. And I know this isn't great journalism or anything, but I'm just bullshitting. But somebody told me that he claimed, I don't know the truth this is, that EA does not make any money off of BioWare games because they're just so expensive to make and to maintain. They just don't make money. But they like having them because they get good reviews and it's good for the company.
Right.
So now if you have this thing where maybe Mass Effect 3 was hardly going to break even anyways, and now they have to spend a lot of money giving away free content to try to
fix the image.
Yeah, basically, yeah, exactly, to fix the brand, more or less. because BioWare is always a fan friendly brand, and now right now it is not. So I can't imagine EA's happy about it, to be completely honest. And I'm sure BioWare blames EA because they're like, "Oh, you made us charge for a character." And
well, I mean, I hate to like, say yeah, it, but their last anything. Two games feel incredibly rushed.
Well, two or three, Star Wars.
Star Wars is not rushed.
No, not rushed. But so you mean Dragon Age?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're the ones made in the main BioWare studio. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is done in Austin.
Star Wars isn't doing well. That's going to be trouble. I kind of hear from a lot of people, like as I feared, that once you beat that kind of like once you're done leveling up, and it stops feeling like a BioWare game, and then you're just raiding as if you would in any MMO.
I understand that complaint, but I don't know. Just
like I don't know what you do about it, but I'm just saying.
I'm just saying from what I played that game, I would feel like, oh, I beat it. I'm going to play another story now.
Yeah, but that's not really how you're supposed to, that's not how MMOs kind of work.
I know that's not, but I feel like that's how that game works, and people, like, aren't willing to do it for some reason.
That's not how you do it. People stick with characters. That's kind of how I always done it. I don't know.
I understand that's how it's always been done. I'm saying this is different. I mean, like, people aren't acknowledging that.
Yeah, well, they still have endgame content, so. Yeah. Maybe if they were brave enough to try something different than the typical endgame model of now you raid for better gear, but that's what they did. So, I don't know. I'm just saying that BioWare, in 5 years, don't be shocked. If it's not here. All right, what's next?
That's it.
Doom and gloomy. Oh, that's it? Okay. All right, then. So, console war, retro style. This generation started with, well, I don't know if you want to talk about the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast came out in 1999.
It's technically part of that generation, I guess.
It kind of is. It was a great system, but it was only around for 2 years.
It brought us console online play.
Yeah,
that was important.
That was crazy. But theirs was free also, wasn't it? Or am I making that up?
No, it was free.
That's crazy. Well, we used broadband, though, right? Not broadband and remote. Wait,
yeah, it was 56. They made a broadband adapter, but it wasn't very common.
That's funny. We're playing games like that. I mean, you remember there's just a lot of times where you just can't play the game anymore.
I remember, like, if you were playing Phantasy Star Online and you got disconnected, it, like, didn't save any of your progress.
Yeah, oh, that was always the worst.
Oh, man.
But, so, yeah, Dreamcast was nice, but obviously it didn't win that console war. But you had PS2 in 2000 and 2001, right around the same time, GameCube, Xbox. All right, PS2. I hated that system at first.
I did, too.
Mostly because it killed the Dreamcast, I think, and
that
I liked
part of it. But beginning of its cycle, I mean,
the games looked ugly on that thing for a while.
They did.
They looked ugly. They were all very blocky. I remember looking at Tekken Tag Tournament and thinking, this doesn't look anywhere near as good as, like, Soul Calibur. Because that's what I compared it to. I compared Tekken Tag Tournament to Soul Calibur, and it didn't hold up at all.
No.
It looked jagged. That was kind of the big plays. Everything was very jaggedy. That was a big buzzword. We're talking about the PS2 back then, when for the detractors. And it was true for a while. But a lot of the big PlayStation 1 franchises, they kind of didn't really hold over as well. Or if they did, it wasn't quite as big a deal. Like, you know, Final Fantasy X was good, but it was no Final Fantasy VII. Metal Gear Solid 2, no Metal Gear Solid 1. Tomb Raider was kind of done. Like, Siphon Filter, no one cared anymore.
Yeah.
Just like Twisted Metal, you got one game out of that, and then again, it was done. It kind of took them a while to develop a PlayStation 2 identity that was built on, like, new franchises, like things like God of War and Ratchet and Clank. And, franchises like that.
Right.
And once it got going, though, that was, even though it didn't have a lot of the features of the other systems, like it didn't have Xbox Live, it didn't have a hard drive or stuff, and then it didn't have the graphics of even the other two, it had the best library software, though. Software library, though. It just did.
Yeah.
When I just think about, like, the classics that came out of the system, Metal Gear Solid 3,
Eco, Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus, The God of Wars, Final Fantasy 12, 10, Kingdom Hearts 2, I know you don't like the bunch, the Personas, a lot of great JRPGs, a lot of great platformers, a lot of great action games. I mean, it might be the best software library in gaming history, really, in a lot of ways. There's just classic after classic after classic. That's why there's so many HD releases.
The thing is, though, there is one genre that they never hit.
Well, first-person shooter.
Yeah.
They had Time Splitters, and they tried Killzone. I never got into either of those. I know Time Splitters had its fans. But at this time, that wasn't really a big thing. And really, Xbox only had Halo, but it was enough.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And let's transition to Xbox now. And that's my big complaint with the Xbox. For one thing, it was actually only around for 4 years, which is very short.
Yeah,
how long has the 360 been around now?
It's already been 6 years.
Yeah, so already long outlived it. But the Xbox One was basically Halo and Halo 2. KOTOR for me. Like, I remember being really hyped for Fable, and it was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had the... At the time, I liked it more than I do now, looking back. But at the time, I really liked Splinter Cell. And that was far better on the Xbox.
Oh, sure, but it was still multi. There was multi-platform games were usually better on the Xbox, for sure. But that was kind of a big thing. And it was a more powerful one. It had that hard drive, and it had online play, which was nice. But I just don't think the software library was nearly as good as
PC. I know, but it's hard to discount the significance of Xbox Live.
No, it's a big deal. But like I said, it wasn't like they weren't the first to do it. You still had Sega did it with Dreamcast.
Yeah, but like, I mean,
it really didn't become what it was until 360.
It was very forward thinking of them to make a console that had an online experience that only supported broadband, which in 2001, a lot of people laughed at that.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it didn't have support for dial up to a lot of people was like absurd.
And like I said, that's interesting, but still, when I look at the original Xbox, all I can think of is, yeah, this was just the thing before we got to the 360.
In many ways.
I don't have any sort of retro love for the original Xbox. Like, I don't like, who's ever like, oh man, I'm gonna plug in my old Xbox and hit up that.
Someone who wants it's to play weird. Panzer Dragoon Orta or Oddworld Strangers.
It's really kind of a weird thing, because I can hardly remember that time when I was like, the Xbox, you know? The 360 is a big thing. Xbox wasn't that popular either. It was a niche thing. It swapped with PlayStation 2.
It was definitely more of a gamer's system. I mean, it didn't hit a mainstreamish audience, which the PlayStation
did. No, it didn't at all.
Honestly, what helped the PlayStation that a lot was its DVD playback capability, which the Xbox had with that little adapter you bought.
Yeah.
But
that's all. But I'm just.
I mean, I just know
PS2 was far and away the most popular.
Oh yeah, PC. I just know. Like, it's strange when I think about it. I mean, I definitely played my Xbox more than I ever played my PS2.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
In college, I was always like, because every, like, sophomore year, every Friday night, we had four Xboxes in the hall.
See, I didn't realize.
We'd do LAN parties and stuff with Halo. I mean.
I don't think I realized how much I liked the PS2 until later on, because I didn't play a lot of those great games on it.
It's much the same way, like kind of with the Genesis Super Nintendo thing.
Yeah, well, I look back on it, and I'm like, yes, Super Nintendo was clearly better. But again, 360 just didn't. The exclusives weren't as good as even, say, the GameCube. Now, the GameCube.
The GameCube was once again a Nintendo player.
But it had some of the best Nintendo games on it.
Right.
Wind Waker is the best Zelda game. Metroid Prime may be the best Metroid game. Smash Brothers Melee is the best Smash Brothers. Paper Mario 2, I absolutely love. They're just all of these really, really good. It might have the best Mario Kart with Double Dash. It had a great F-Zero game. I mean, you know, just everything. Like, the only franchises that didn't kind of kill it on there were Mario Sunshine was... It's probably not the best Mario game. I still like it a lot.
Yeah,
I still defend it.
I think the fact that they didn't have an amazing Mario game sooner, too, is weird.
It was no Galaxy, and Star Fox bit it pretty bad on there.
Yeah.
You had a bunch of bad Star... A couple bad Star Fox games. At least I think so. I know some people like Dinosaur Planet. But like, again, besides that, a lot of those games were really freaking good. And you weren't playing anything like Wind Waker on the other systems. Like, maybe closest if you were
Beyond Good and Evil. But again, it was a Nintendo player.
Yeah, more or less. There are a couple interesting things.
Rogue Squadron 2 is good.
Yeah, Rogue Squadron. Oh, there's Pikmin also. That's first party again. But, like, Tales of Symphonia. You had, like, that weird HD remake. Not HD remake, I guess, but that weird remake of Metal Gear Solid 1. I feel like there are, Resident Evil 4 was an exclusive for a while, I remember, which was weird, huh?
Yeah.
That's weird, but for a while that was a big deal. That was one of the best games of that generation. I'd still put GameCube in front of Xbox.
You know, it's weird that you may realize the Xbox was also the first HD system. It did support 1080i as its max.
It still looked ugly. It still kind of looked like a last-gen game. But yeah, certainly. Xbox certainly looked better than the other two systems, for sure. It's not like as much of a disparity. Like the Xbox to PlayStation 2 disparity is not as bad as the PlayStation 3 to Wii disparity, though. Like, you could still play a PlayStation 2 game. It would look like what you would expect from that generation.
Right.
It wasn't crazy or anything. But, I mean, obviously I'm getting at, yeah, the big PlayStation 2. I think you do.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think, like, probably overall PS2, hardware I'd give to Xbox easily.
Yeah.
And just as far as system exclusives go, GameCube.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think it was interesting.
It honestly was a good time to own all three systems.
It really was.
Like, if you were a gamer, you should have at some point had all three.
It's not like today where there aren't as many as exclusives either, you know? Like, I don't know very many people who have a 360 and a PS3. Like, of my friends that aren't like, you know, obviously all my Facebook friends who are, like, big gamers who I've met, they do. But, like my friends who I've grown up playing games with.
Yeah, they all a lot of 360s.
Actually, yeah, that's kind of... A lot of 360 Wii combinations, or though they don't use the Wii anymore.
But yeah, a lot of people have the Wii and don't use them, and they got a 360. Right.
PS3, I don't know very many people who has that, to be completely honest.
Actually, I'm trying to think. Who do we personally Fixer. Know who has one? That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Interesting. It's just me. Oh, I don't mind. Now we're just talking about our personal friends. All right. But yeah, you gotta go PlayStation 2. Just too many absolute classics on that system. All right. Our week in gaming. So you actually... You shocked me because you were out of town.
Who would have ever thought?
And you told me to go pre-order Xenoblade Chronicles. Is that what it's called? Xenoblade something?
Yeah, that's it.
Xenoblade Chronicles. Right? I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was weird. I was sitting there thinking about it. I was like, oh, shit, that comes out Friday. I bet it's going to be hard to get. And then, honestly, if it wasn't for Pete's raving about this game on Twitter, I might have passed it up.
Well, you don't like JRPGs. You just don't.
I don't.
You hate them.
But hearing the ways he described it was, first of all, very Final Fantasy XII-esque combat. The British voice cast, which was honestly a surprisingly big draw for me. And I don't know, just for some reason, something in my head said I might actually be okay with this. It seemed like it was avoiding a lot of the cliches that I hate.
And has it?
Yes. So, first of all, the game actually starts. Meaning, there's not like 3 hours of exposition before I like take control of something.
And I played a little bit, I've noticed that too.
The game begins in a war, and I start fighting shit right away.
Which is very smart.
It's great. Okay, and then now, new rule. All JRPGs are to be voiced by British actors. Because even when I could read this dialogue, I think to myself, boy, this like isn't really the greatest writing. But for some reason, when it's coming out like the bad guy with the Cockney accent, it's fantastic.
It just works.
It's what you want, you know?
It's just so much better than what they typically cast for JRPGs.
Yeah, and then, like, I mean, you're technically playing, like, everyone keeps referring to you as kids, but from what I can tell in the story, you're like, you're 18, 20s.
So you're not, like, 14. Like
No, you're not, like, a 10-year-old, like, who's, like, all gooey-eyed, like, oh, wow. Yeah, no one has, like, these, like, an annoying, high-pitched, squeaky voice. I even encountered, like, a legitimate kid. He sounds like a 12-year-old. He doesn't sound like a 4-year-old girl. It's amazing.
But,
it's not a cliched world. I mean, actually, the world is so cool.
It's a neat concept. So basically, there are two titans
who are like locked in this centuries-long fight that, and finally, like they like both landed a killing blow on each other at the same time and just froze.
And now, like the world grew on them.
Yeah, well, like there's the one Bionis, which is where all the organic life came from, and the Mechanis, where this race of evil machines came from. Yeah. So the conceit of the game is there's this sword called the Monado, and you will not forget that name because they say it a lot. And this sword is believed to be, like, somehow derived from the sword that the Bionis Titan fought with and defeated the Mechanis with. It's the only thing that can actually damage the Mechons, which are these evil machines. And it's interesting in that regard, because as you're playing the game, and you're fighting just, like, monsters, you know, you're fighting them. When you fight Mechons, only the Mechanis could damage the Monado, jeez, there's a lot of terminology here.
Yeah.
Only the Monado can damage them. Now, you can cast one of your spells is like you temporarily enchant your party's weapons to also hurt the Mechons.
Okay.
But like when you're like, sense. I got in one fight just today where like it was a group of four Mechons and then another group of four got pulled. Yeah, I didn't finish that. Because you're just not doing damage most of the time, you know?
Right.
So it's a hard game. It's not easy. There's one fight I did relatively early on where it was just like this lizard in a tunnel. I was like, oh, okay, fight this lizard. And it like kicked my ass three times till finally I just by a fluke beat it.
But you can save anywhere, right?
Yes,
so
that's
it's not
nice.
Too frustrating. And what happens when you die?
You respawn at the last landmark you visited.
That's fine.
Very quickly, no penalty. The game lets you play it, that's, which is nice.
Right. What about the battle system?
Okay, so the combat system, it's been described Final Fantasy XII like. It's kind of like an MMO. You have your party.
I like those battles. I know some people hate that.
I
love it. But basically, that's just it's kind of a very Western RPG way of doing it.
Yeah. So you've got your party. You control. You could pick any character that you actually control. When you start a fight, you automatically auto attack if you're in range, and then you have your skills at the bottom. Now, one thing it doesn't do that 12 did, you don't like get to like program your party AI,
right?
To like prioritize certain things.
Does that bother you?
Yeah, a little bit. Because There are some, like, chain attack things where, like, I could hit an enemy and cause them to break. And then if enemies in break, the one guy can do an attack that will then topple them. And a toppled Mechon is susceptible to normal weapon damage. Okay. So that's really important. And I'll hit him with the break ability, and he just won't do the topples sometimes. So I actually found it a lot easier to control him, the tank. Because he does a bad job of holding aggro.
Yeah.
Because I'll let him go in. He'll usually lead with his attack that, like, grabs aggro at first. But, like, he won't just keep spamming every special attack he has. But I am, and I'm pulling aggro just with regular attacks.
So do you switch characters a lot, or do you usually just play as one?
Well, you can't switch during combat.
Oh, really?
You have to switch in between. Listen, even if I just controlled the positioning of my character and could still manually select spells for everybody else, I'd like that. Because the other thing, too, is, like, healing. Like it's just like, oh, God, please heal me. Please heal me. Please heal me. Oh, God, please.
Okay.
The only time you ever get to directly control the rest of your party, there's this mechanic in the game where the Monado gives Shulk, the main character, the ability to see in the near future. Sometimes you can see when someone's going to die, and then you get a chance to prevent that from happening,
be it
from something you do, like you try to draw aggro or heal that person or shield them, or you can go up to them, hit, like, the warn button, and then you get to pick one of their abilities to do that might help them out.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then the other thing you do is the chain attacks. There's a 3-part meter in the top of the screen that fills as you fight and depletes when you're not fighting, so it encourages you to keep combat up. If someone is knocked out, the only way to revive them is suspend one section of that meter, and you just revive them with a percentage of their HP. Mm-hmm. But if the meter fills, you can do a chain attack. It'll start with your character. You pick any of their abilities. Even if something's on cooldown, you get to pick any one. You do it. And it goes to the next party member and the next. You get to pick one ability per person. After everyone who's in the chain has done their attack, if your affinity, which is like a relationship between individual party members, is high enough, you can do, like, a time button press to keep it going. If your affinity is high enough, I think the max is, like, 15 rounds.
How do you raise affinity?
A couple different ways. There's, like, when there's critical hits or misses. Again, it's like it's kind of like the ring in Lost Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
If you time that button press right, you'll encourage them in some way. Either saying, great attack, or, hey, it's okay, everyone misses. Mm-hmm. And that'll boost your affinity. Then there's also these...
Is it a temporary thing, or is it a constant?
No, yeah, it's like a constantly evolving relationship. Okay. What are these? They're called heart-to-hearts. You'll see them on the map. If you have the right characters and their affinities at a certain level, you have, like, these little canned conversations.
I like those kind of things.
Yeah, and they're weird because it's, like, questions about backstory, but you don't know it, so you're trying to guess, like, what happened. And if you're getting the right answers, you're getting more affinity. You're always getting some affinity for it, but the right answers will give you more. And that's another way of building it up. But the only thing, I know it's such a cliched complaint, it's pretty for a Wii game.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm playing the greatest RPG of the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I know. You know? That's what I noticed, too, especially in the
beginning. I mean, I'm playing with the classic controller.
It's weird.
Like, I almost wish, like, with this Project Rainfall thing, if they just would have, like, if Monolith was like, all right, fine, we'll make it a $20 downloadable title on Xbox Live Arcade or something. And its presentation is really good, but it has, like, the kind of 3 levels of presentation. There's, like, the fully animated, scripted, well-done cutscenes.
Yeah.
Then you've got, like, the sort of done cutscenes. The voice acting's there, but it's, like, the canned animation loops, the guy waving his hands back and forth. Then you've got the ones that are just pure text.
Right, and, you know, you just kind of have to go... You kind of put yourself back into that last-gen mindset for it, really.
A little bit, yeah.
And you
also,
sacrifices.
Soundtrack... Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
Gotta download that.
It's just, the world is so cool. Like, honestly, I want to get it, like this running in that Dolphin emulator to see what it looks like.
So you think you're actually going to beat this game?
I might.
That'd be interesting.
It's long, I guess.
Whatever.
Like, when you get, like, certain parts in the geography where, like, you can see the other Titan off in the distance, like, it's just so cool.
I've got to say, I'm a little concerned that I can't change characters at any point in a battle or program, though.
Unless I miss that.
Like, I feel like you should, maybe it's in there. Hey, you can let us know if you played it, you know. Hey, Pete knows. All right. Anything else you want to say about it?
Again, it's GameStop exclusive, probably limited run. So even if you're thinking about getting it, I recommend getting it. At the least, you'll probably be able to sell it for a lot a year from now.
Yeah, true.
Because it's going to be rare. But I think, you know, I've decided, maybe I don't so much hate JRPGs. Maybe I hate Square Enix. Because when you think about it, they've been made some shitty games lately, and maybe that's tainting the whole thing for me.
Maybe. I'm trying to think.
But, I mean, this feels so fresh.
What about did you like Persona?
I didn't play a lot.
You should have liked Persona.
I liked Persona, except it was a little chatty.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's incredibly chatty,
but
yeah.
In the way that it's like...
Absolutely.
This game, like, you see, like, the dialogue box with the A button to advance, but it's automatically advancing. I mean, it's a cutscene.
Yeah.
Persona was still, like, words appear, the character talks, and then it pauses until you hit the next button. Eh. Like, I hate that.
Eh.
Just let it flow.
That's fine.
Timing. It's all about timing.
All right. Anything else, then?
No. I like I said, I was playing with the class controller. I wonder how it even plays...
I was kind of hoping I could use a GameCube controller, but I couldn't. Which
oh, really? Yeah, the classic's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm trying to think if I play anything. I just bought a Vita today with my tax refund. it's charging now. I haven't done anything with it. I guess that's it.
Nothing else? You sure?
I'm trying to think what the heck I've played. I mean, I've been playing PC games because my main computer's kind of been a little dead. We're installing Windows 8 on it now, which I'm not happy about. Windows 8. What am I, baby? Never really played anything else. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
All right, releases.
Yes, what's coming out?
Men of War Condemned Heroes for PC, whoop-de-doo. Naval War, Arctic Circle for PC. A lot of war games. Tribes Ascend apparently is coming out.
Yeah, it's going into final release on the 12th?
Yeah,
something like that. 12th, I've been in the beta for 6 months, and I have not played
it at all. Oh, really? Yeah, I want to try it. We're in that Mists of Pandaria beta now. Too late to do that.
Yeah, I know. I got my invite this week. I just hadn't had the time to play it.
Legend of Grimrock for PC. I don't know what that is. Phantom Breaker, which is apparently a 2D fighting game for the 360. Skullgirls also apparently coming out for PS3 and 360, which is another 2D fighting game. Max Payne Mobile. I think I read something about Max Payne 3 today. That was incredibly positive.
Yeah, people are high for it.
So, good. Spirit Camera, The Cursed Mirror for 3DS. Fez for 360.
Oh, Fez comes out Wednesday?
The 13th.
No shit.
World Gone Sour on 360 and PS3. And The Splatters on Xbox Live Arcade.
Pick up Fez.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and on Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Please be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, if you put in that it worked so you get the last word in the intro, I'm going to be furious. Because it's stupid. It only worked because I made it work.